Good morning and blessings, peace be to you this morning. Glad for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for each one of you that are here this morning. Group's a little small, but it's a privilege to be able to still come together and spend time looking around, looking at God's Word, studying it, learning what God has for us. Also welcome the visitors here with us today as well. 2018. It's just about over, isn't it? It's amazing how time just seems like, well, I guess the older you get, the quicker it seems to go. But we're at the close of another year, and Lord willing, at the beginning of another year. Appreciated the thoughts that different of the brothers shared this morning. The responsibility that each of us have to be faithful today. That's what I'd like to think about today. The last time that I preached, I preached on the subject of identifying and overcoming idolatry. And if I remember correctly, I didn't get finished and thought that we would look at overcoming idolatry, the last part of that message, the next time I preached. And I'd like to do that this morning. However, maybe in a little different form, maybe not specifically talking about overcoming idolatry, but as I thought about that, I felt like the Lord laid another message on my heart to share this morning, and I think it also applies to overcoming idolatry. So I'd like to leave that for now. That subject of overcoming idolatry. And I'd like to focus on a story from the Old Testament. And I invite you this morning to turn to Genesis chapter 45. I think was it last week, 2 weeks ago? Sometime here in the last few weeks, I was reading through the book of Genesis, and I got to a phrase that's repeated several times in Genesis and Exodus, and for some reason it really stuck with me, and I was so inspired with it, I thought we could share, I would just like to share that phrase with you and some of the thoughts that I've learned from that. Genesis chapter 45, this is a really familiar story. Even the children know this story about Joseph was down in Egypt, and then there was a famine, and Joseph helped the Egyptians store up a lot of food, and they were providing for the local people, but he also provided for his own family back in Canaan. They came down to Egypt, and we know the story well. The brothers came down, and they met Joseph, and I'd like to start reading at verse 25 and read through chapter 46, verse 7. Genesis 45, starting at verse 25. And this is just kind of breaking in here. The brothers just left Egypt, and they're going home. And they've got the wagons, and Joseph said, go home and get Dad and all. He actually didn't say get all the stuff. They were supposed to get some of the things, but the Egyptian, the Pharaoh, said that you don't have to bring everything because we'll take care of you. Verse 25, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. You can imagine Joseph's heart, or Jacob's heart, fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. When he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Chapter 46, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into the Egypt, and will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones, their wives, and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And he took their cattle, their goods, which they had gotten into the land of Canaan, and came to Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. All right, so just the old story. We've heard this so many times. And you know how it is? I was reading through this in my personal devotions, and I try to put myself into this Jacob's shoes. I can't imagine. He really did believe that Joseph was gone and dead. And yet the brothers come back and they said he's yet alive. And Jacob can hardly believe this. And then in chapter 46, verse 1, they load him up and they head off for Egypt. But the thing that caught my attention was in verse 2. It says, and God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. No, I'm sorry, let me back up to verse 1. Jacob did something first. Israel took his journey with all that he had, and when he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac, and God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob, and he said, here am I. And those three words is what really struck me. So, he said, here am I. And I just like to think about the implication of those three words. Here am I. This morning we stand at the threshold of another year. Jared mentioned that somebody mentioned that we don't know what all the future holds, what all next year will bring. And if we try to wrap our minds around that, there can be a sense of fear. We're talking about a minister ordination. There's some change in store for Great Lakes. And I don't know, there's a heart of flesh in each of us that we don't always like change. We talk about a bishop ordination, and that looks like change. What does God have in store for us? I was just so challenged with those three words, here am I. Because those three words, as I think about them, they send a message, a super powerful message. There's a lot in those three words, and that's what I'd like to look at this morning. But before we go on, I'd like to, just for the children, I'd like to remind you of a little story in the Bible, and I'm just going to try to tell you this story because you already know it, but I think there's some lessons that even us adults can learn from. The story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and there's a little boy in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Do any of the children want to guess what his name is? Good guess. It's not Isaac. That's not the one I'm thinking of. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The book gives it away. It's Samuel, right? Okay, so in 1 Samuel chapter 3, there's a little boy, and his name is Samuel, and he's not very big. He's a special child. His mother prayed for him, and God gave them this little boy, Samuel. And you know what the mother said? If God gives us a little boy, then we'll give that little boy back to God. And when he's big enough, he's going to go to the temple to live. And that's what happened. I like to think he was excited about that. But Samuel went down to the temple, and he was helping Eli at the temple. And one night, Samuel went to bed. The Bible says he lay down to sleep. And I don't know how long it was, but Samuel heard a voice that said, Samuel, Samuel. And do you remember what Samuel said? Or what he did? He jumped up and he ran to Eli and he said, Eli, here am I, because you called me. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. go back and lie down. I didn't call you. So he went back and he lay down again and he listened. And after a while, he heard that same thing. Samuel, Samuel. And he's sure he heard it. He jumped out of bed and he went back to Eli. He said, Eli, you did call me. He said, here am I. He said it again. And Samuel said, no, I didn't call you. Go lie down. And it happened three times. And finally, when he came back to Samuel, Samuel said, next time that you hear that, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and he laid back down. And he listened. Why did he listen? He listened because he thought he was going to hear something, didn't he? He was waiting for that again. Am I going to hear it? You know what it's like to listen and wonder? What do you hear? You want to learn something. You want to understand, and you listen, and sure enough, Samuel, Samuel, and he said it twice. And this time Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And God spoke to Samuel, and God had a message for him. And the message was that God had some judgment he wanted to communicate some plans that he was going to do to Eli. And Samuel shared that with Eli the next day. There's a little bit more to the story. The next day, Eli said, Samuel. And you know what Samuel said? He said, here am I. And then Eli said, Samuel, what did God say to you last night? What did God say? And Samuel told him, because he had a message from God. Here am I. I thought about my own life. As we, each of us, we have our personal devotions, our time with God. How often do I say, God, here am I. Here am I. I'm all yours. That's a challenge that, again, I'd like to focus on a little bit more. These three words, here am I, were used 16 times in the Old Testament. A number of times it was mostly by Abraham. It was used by Isaac when he went with his dad up to and God had asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac was with him, and they were walking together up to the mountain, and Isaac said to his father, I don't know the exact words, but something about father, and Abraham said, here am I. And then he said, we have the wood for the sacrifice, but where's the offering? And Abraham said, God will provide. Here am I. I'm here. I'm present. I'm listening. I'm ready to learn. Here am I. Another time that it was quoted was with Moses. He was out taking care of the sheep in the wilderness, and he looked over and the bush is burning. And it says that Moses was afraid. He feared. And God spoke to him, and Moses said, here am I. Everything stopped. I assume it got quiet, but Moses' life, quote, stopped. He's ready to hear and to listen, to learn. There was another one, Joseph in Genesis. Joseph went, he had his dreams, he told his dreams, the brothers went to take care of the sheep in Shechem, and the last three words that are recorded that Joseph said to his dad, Jacob said, Joseph, and Joseph said, here am I. And then Jacob said, go down and check on the brothers. Take them some things and go check on them. And Joseph did that. The last three words that he said to his father until he met him in Egypt, I believe. Here am I. I'd like to think about these three words and apply them to our lives today. The choices and actions that come from our lives have a direct bearing on our relationship with God. The things that we actually do, have a direct bearing on our relationship with God. Most of us today like to think that we're doing okay. We're doing pretty good. But really, the truth is, the life that we're living and the actions, the fruit that's coming from our life is really who we are. I'd like to look at just a couple of these Old Testament examples and look at their lives and see if there's some things that we can understand from them. Now, there's one thing that's different. Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph all lived in the Old Testament, and they didn't have the new covenant that we have today. Today, Jesus lives inside the Christians. His presence is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And in the Old Testament, they didn't have that. So not everything is exactly the same. But there's still some things that we can learn. And what I'd like to think about is, and you don't have to turn to this, but in Genesis 22, verse 11, and I mentioned this already, I didn't tell that part of the story. It's when they actually got to the altar, and Abraham is ready to offer Isaac, and God says, "Abraham, Abraham," and Abraham says, "Here am I." He stopped, and he listened. He said, here am I." Another time is what we just read about. God said to Jacob, he called his name twice. And in Exodus 3, verse 4, at the burning bush, God said, "Moses, Moses." He called his name twice. And I think about my life, and I try to make this practical to me. So when was I having my personal devotions or talking with God, and I heard my name, Jonathan? I've never heard God do that to me. Does God do that? God can do that. I don't doubt that at all. But in the New Testament era, God lives within us, and we have the Holy Spirit that's in us. And I hope this morning that each of us is aware of the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, and that we can hear that still small voice in our hearts. I don't think God speaks the same to us today as he did back then, because of the Holy Spirit. But God does speak to his people today. God has an intense interest in his people. Does he call them by name? In John 10, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and the Lord knoweth..." I skipped the verse. "The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name, and leadeth them out." And I don't want to pull that verse out of context there, but he does know us by name. God knows us individually and personally. Chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine." Jesus knows us, and his sheep know him. His sheep know him. Do I know Jesus? 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." God does know his sheep. God knows each one of us, and he knows us by name. And just like he spoke to Abraham and Moses and Jacob and each one of the patriarchs, God knows us today. God desires to be a father to us. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, "I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." Are we communicating with God the way he would like us to? Just another thing that I'd like to learn from their lives. Why did God call Abraham? Why did God have this... It seems like God had a personal relationship with with the patriarchs. He spoke to them directly and communicated with... What was special? Why Abraham? Why Moses? Well, there's two things that I'd like to consider in relation to that. I don't think it's coincidental. What was Abraham doing when God called him his name twice? Abraham, Abraham. What was he doing? He was about to offer his son. Do we believe that he actually would have done that? I think we all agree that Abraham fully intended to do whatever God asked him to do. He was in the process of sacrifice is when God spoke to him. In the little story we read from Genesis 46, when did God call Jacob? Called his name twice. What was Jacob doing? Sacrificing. It says he went down to Egypt, or he got to Beersheba, and that there was Abraham had planted some trees there, a grove of trees, and had an altar there before. So he got back to this, the worship spot, and he sacrificed. Jacob was sacrificing to God. I don't think it's coincidental, but I truly believe that sacrifice and worship precede a communication with God. Why haven't I heard God's voice? Now, don't misunderstand me, but is there a distance between God and you, God and me? Are we as close as we could or should be? I think sacrifice and worship are two things that we can look at and we can grow in and improve on. Sacrifice to God precedes a relationship with God. A sacrifice was when they took something that was valuable to them and then they gave that valuable possession away. In the Old Testament, they had the old the sheep. They'd bring them up and they would sacrifice them. They'd give them away. Don't have it anymore. It's gone. Surrendered and gone. Completely surrendered whatever they were giving, whatever they were sacrificing. Voluntarily giving up as a gift to God. So what do we sacrifice today? Didn't bring the sheep this morning. What did we sacrifice? Given away, gone. Not here anymore. Never get it back. Just offered freely, surrendered. I'll tell you what I think. Not I think. What God is asking of New Testament Christians, he wants everything inside of us to be surrendered. And I think that's one of the points of here am I. It's God, I just surrender everything to you. I sacrifice myself. I sacrifice whatever's valuable to you. We need to sacrifice and give that to God and let God have control of it. There's a quote from when Brother Joe had a revivals in 2009. I found it. The quote said, "Whatever God you serve, you will be willing to sacrifice for. Whatever God you serve, your God, you're going to be. You will sacrifice for your God." So then I asked myself, "Well, what am I sacrificing? If I am sacrificing to the true God, then I'll find myself." You will find yourself finding more and more ways to serve your family, to bless others, to reach out and to be a blessing and to be what God wants you to be. Giving up, surrendering your life is sacrifice. Matthew 25, verse 40, "Inasmuch as ye have done unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Jesus wants us to sacrifice to him. So the first thing that we can learn is they were active in their sacrifice and worship. And the second is, I was just amazed as I thought about this. Abraham and Moses, actually Abraham and Jacob in this case, the ones I was thinking of, the second thing that we can learn from these men is that they held God above all else. When we look at Abraham's life, period, Abraham did it. I really, he time after time after time, God was top priority in Abraham's life. No question in my mind. And also with Jacob, on his way down to Egypt, he basically surrendered everything they had. They left home and headed off and went to Egypt. God was above all else. When God asked Abraham to offer Isaac, there wasn't any hesitation recorded. Abraham was doing it. He was going, whatever God said, he was doing it. Jacob was on his way to Egypt, and when he came to Beersheba, he built an altar. Or else, I don't know if it says he built an altar. But he offered sacrifices unto to God. Do you think Jacob was excited about going down to Egypt to see Jesus? Of all things, they stopped. What do you think the family thought? They're headed to Egypt, and Jacob stops, and it's time to sacrifice and to worship right in the middle of their exciting trip. I don't know how it was exactly for them, but are there any parallels for us? Does life ever get busy? There's things to do. There's exciting things to do, important things to do, and straight through. We have to get it done. What about sacrifice? What about worship? What about personal communication with God? Are we willing to stop and say, here am I, like they did? If you desire a closer relationship with God, elevate Him in your life and ask Him to help you see the unworthiness of yourself and the greatness of Him. Because if we really understood that, if we knew how great God was and how little I am, and we got a clear vision of that, I think it would make it a lot easier to keep God above all else. All right. In closing this morning, I think there's just a couple points. In relation to this, these words, here am I. What does the words, here am I, mean to us? Number one, I think the words, here am I, means that we're ready to listen. We're ready to listen. I don't have all the answers. When Abraham was about to kill Isaac on the altar, and God said, Abraham, Abraham, was he ready to listen? He was. He definitely was. Am I ready to listen? Do I value what God wants to tell me? When we're so busy and occupied that we can't hear God speak to us, then we're obviously not ready to listen, and maybe we don't even want to listen and learn. I was reading a story to the girls the other night. It was about a little boy that had trouble hearing. I forget what book it was, but the little boy was outside. His mom or dad called for him to come, and he had this bad habit of not listening, and so he stayed out. He didn't go in. He was so involved in what he was doing that he soon forgot that they called him, and his parents intended to teach him a lesson and didn't call the second time. And the little boy was so involved in what he was doing that he didn't realize that it was getting dark. And suddenly, it was dark, and he was still outside. And, yeah, he had a little scary experience. And he ran inside, and his mother explained to him that he needs to learn to listen and to obey. God wants to talk to you. And he wants to talk to me. And in a sense, we're outside. And if we don't listen, it'll be more than just being left in the dark. It's a separation between us and God when we don't listen. Let's hear. And if we want to hear God, we need to be quiet enough, calm enough, still enough, patient enough for God to speak to us. God doesn't force himself on us. So am I ready to listen so that I can hear him, so that I can say, here am I, speak to me. Point number two, what does the words here am I mean? It means that we're ready to learn and be taught. We're ready to learn. I want to be taught. I need to be taught. I don't have the answer. I need help. And then God can help us, and he can teach us. We don't have it all together. And I think it was even mentioned today in our service here somewheres, that I think as conservative Mennonites, I think I need to be reminded of this, maybe more than other people do, that we don't have it all together. And we can't just live the Mennonite culture and be okay. Because eternal life is not in the Mennonite culture. It's in obedience to God, and it's in understanding and following God's word. God help us to remember that truth comes to us through the word of God. And our godly heritage is a tremendous blessing. But that in itself does not hold eternal answers. We need the truth of God applied to our lives. And I do appreciate our heritage tremendously. It's an incredible blessing. But let's not be snared into or relaxed into where we don't even have to listen for God, because we need God. Everyone, we need God. Point number three. Here am I means that we're ready to surrender. That we're ready to surrender. We choose to surrender our will to God's will. And when we do that is when we can say, God, here I am. I'm done. I am done fighting. I'm tired of the battle. I just want to be yours. I want to let go. I want peace. And God offers that. He's offering that today for full surrender. He'll give us peace. He'll give us rest. I don't know what, each one of us are facing. But God is asking us to surrender to him. Willing to acknowledge that God knows better than I do. Willing to acknowledge God as an authority in my life. As adults, as parents, we want to teach our children to respect authority, and I think I need a reminder about respecting the authority of God in my life. We cannot say, here am I, and then keep a portion back for ourselves. God is looking for full surrender. Number four, full surrender, here am I means that we're ready to obey. I'm ready to surrender and give up and do what God wants. Just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. In the little portion that we read there in Genesis, God says to Jacob, fear not to go down into Egypt. And he says, I will go down with thee into Egypt. He gave him instructions. I think when we say, here am I, it's opening ourselves up, surrendering to God, and then willing to say, I'm ready. Just tell me what to do next, and we'll do that. Be ready to follow God at all costs, regardless of everything. And agreeing to God's plan, whatever that is. Point number five, here am I means to be ready for action. Similar, I guess maybe the same as obedience. My mind went to Isaiah 6. I love that chapter, the first couple verses there, where Isaiah talks about God's holiness. And then he gets down, and God says they need someone to go. And Isaiah says, here am I, send me, I'll go. I'll do it. Talked about that in our Sunday school lesson. Even though the flesh will cringe under responsibility, by God's grace, I will. We'll, We can do it. We'll move forward. I'm willing to obey. I'm ready for action, ready to serve, and ready to fill the need. The last point I have, here am I, means that we're ready to trust God. Henry, you talked about that this morning in devotions. There's a sense of being scared to surrender. God, where are you going to take me? What are you going to do? I don't know if I can do that. But this morning, God, not just this morning, God wants us always to trust him. He will never take us outside of what he's able to help us with. God is offering strength and grace for all that he has to do. For some reason, I get this mental picture. Sometimes we hang on to these things that we think are secure, and they're even, maybe I expose myself, but it's easy to attach yourself to money, and you have a little bit of money, and you feel, you know it could disappear real quickly. We all know that, but yet there's a little bit there, and there's a sense of security. And this morning, God is asking us to let go of that earthly security. Just let go of it and grab a hold of something real, something eternal, something that won't evaporate or run away or disappear. Get a hold of trust in God and let go of that earthly security. Here am I is a commitment to let go of ourselves and to fix our trust on him. How can we overcome idolatry? I don't know of any other way to overcome idolatry but by saying, God, here I am. Here I am. I'm yours. All that other stuff, just take it away. I need you. If we want to overcome idolatry, I think we need to have the heart of here I am and the commitment to surrender and follow God. Today, I don't know what each one of us face. We face similar things, and yet there's specific issues that each one of us face. Sometimes the price to say, here I am, just seems really high and really difficult to do. But I just challenge each of you this morning that to realize that God is able to give us the strength to, if we're just willing to let go and reach out to him. My prayer this morning is that each one of us could understand the importance of obeying God, sacrifice and worship to God, and then could we just stop this busy, unending cycle. Just take enough time to stop and say, God, here am I, and then wait and listen and learn and want to learn. God has a message for you and for each one of us. I challenge us this morning to do that, to just stop what we're doing and give him time to and communicate with us and expect to receive something. So God bless you as you go from here. God give you the strength to let go of these earthly things. It's a challenge that each one of us face. God give us the grace and the strength to just let go and say, here am I. Take me from here. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your people today. Each one, Lord, we desire to have a closer, deeper relationship with you. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from the Old Testament saints. I pray this morning for each one of the brothers and sisters, friends here today. You have a message for us. You have things that you're working on in our lives, and I just pray that you would grant the grace and the strength to trust you, to let go of ourselves, to let go of these earthly things, to let go of our fears, and say, here am I, I'm yours. Take me and lead me from here. That's our prayer this morning, Lord. I just pray that you would bless each one of the ones here today with the strength to do that and to move forward. Pray also, there's some that would like to be here that can't be here. May you just grant them strength, healing, and that they would trust you for the days ahead. Just ask your blessing as we go from here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.